Some carried a bundle. Oh? She'll pitch a fit if this gets to be a habit. Croker was amused. She never was a ground pounder. Your average infantryman doesn't give a rat's ass about the design function of a weapon. He's concerned about staying alive and about getting his job done with the least risk taken. The bamboo doohickeys were meant for combating killer shadows? So fucking what? If using them made taking out nasty little wizards easier, guess what was going to happen? Pop. Chapter 14. We sighted Lake Tanji an hour before nightfall. The sudden view was so stunning I stopped dead in my tracks. The lake was miles across and cold gray. It dwindled away to my right, the direction our road ran. To our left, the land was very rugged. Arms of increasingly substantial hills ran down to the water. The Danda Presh itself seemed to rise directly from the far shore, all grays in the evening light, dark down low and lighter at the peaks, where snowfields sparkled. A playful god had scrawled a thin cloud line across the panorama, halfway up the mountains, so that the peaks rode a magic carpet. Gray, gray, gray. Right then the whole world seemed gray. Impressive, the captain said. Not at all like seeing it through Smoke's eyes. He frowned at me, even though not even a crow was near enough to hear. Look there. A village burned along the shore several miles ahead. A ball of blue light streaked out of the conflagration, over the water, narrowly missed a small boat. The men aboard the boat tried to row harder, but began to catch crabs and get in one another's way. A swarm of points of light darted at them, not only blue, but green, yellow, pink, and a stunning shade of violet. A man jumped up and flailed around after a ball hit him in the throat. He fell overboard. His antics rocked the boat dangerously. It shipped water, raised its stern into the air momentarily. A ball of light zipped through its bottom, leaving a shimmering hole. Most of the balls missed. Those continued across the lake, slowing gradually. Eventually, they just drifted on the breeze and faded away. The excitement brought a flock of crows fast. They circled overhead. Two big ones dropped onto Croker's shoulders. The others scattered in pairs. The boat sank. It had been bound for an island that was little more than a rock outcrop, boasting a dozen scraggly pine trees and some half-hearted brush. A crow that got close suddenly folded up and went ballistic, hit the water, and floated without twitching. Croker glared. Mergen, move down the foreslope out of the wind. Find a place to dig in for the night. Line troops only on this side of the ridge. I want a double watch kept. I want two battery wagons up trained on that island. His shoulder ornaments were agitated now. I didn't mention them. He was starting to go spooky, and he didn't answer questions anyway. One of the ravens squawked. Croker grunted back. He dismounted, grabbed an extra bamboo pole from a nearby soldier, headed downhill. His mount followed the trail he broke. The soldiers who'd begun to gather followed Croker's example. They formed a skirmish line as they advanced. I could not unsling my own bamboo.